blood of Jesus Christ, the Son, cleanses us from all. It doesn't require great intelligence to realize that this verse is full of theology. If one were to deal with it minutely, even without having great ability, it would keep one going for a long, long, long time. And it is not only a theological statement, it is also full of experience. One can quite easily talk about the blood of Christ's efficacy without having any knowledge at all of its power in his own experience. Now John was not guilty of that. When John spoke of the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansing us from all sin, he was writing profound theology, but he also had in his head what he was saying. He knew the truth of it in his own experience. The subject then, as we have been considering in our prayer meetings, is fellowship with God and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We have already spoken about those who say that they have fellowship with him and walk in darkness. We've spoken of their error, how they deceive themselves. No doubt they said that they believed that what they were saying was the truth. Of course they were absolutely deceived. There is nothing more important than to have fellowship with God in one's walk when he died. Then we spoke about what it is to walk in the light, as God is in the light. And it is on this condition that we have fellowship with God. Now, in order to have fellowship with God, as we'll try to explain, we must, as it were, enter in by the gate of regeneration. An unregenerate cannot have fellowship with God. We must be justified freely by faith, only to such is this marvelous privilege done, to have fellowship with God. And while I believe that everybody who is justified by faith, everybody who is regenerated, everybody who is a Christian, you care to put it that way, a true Christian, has in some measure fellowship with God, but we also believe, as I try to indicate, that not everyone who is justified has much fellowship with God. We believe that it is possible for everyone who is justified, who is a true Christian, to go on for a long time, maybe for years, without having conscious fellowship with God. A backslider hasn't any fellowship with God. So it is necessary not only to be a regenerated Christian, a justified Christian, but then it is also necessary to have a certain condition of soul which makes fellowship with God possible. And if we haven't that, we cannot have fellowship with him. For example, every regenerate person has faith. And faith really never dies. But faith can be very dormant. Faith can be there without it being an exercise. And when faith is not an exercise, we cannot have fellowship with God. It is by faith we have fellowship with God. If we are living in sin, we cannot have fellowship with God. Or in other words, in order to have fellowship with him, we must be walking in the light, as he is in the light. Now, every preacher knows the reaction from the Lord's true people to a truth like this. They say, well, I'm afraid that I want this fellowship with God because I feel I don't walk in the light. I try, but I miserably fail. and my soul is in darkness for many a long day, and I blame myself. It is because I am not walking in the light. Now there are two ways of looking at that sort of reaction. One is this. What a person says when he says that sort of thing must be quite correct. That must be the truth. If a person neglects the means, neglects prayer, doesn't make use of the word, doesn't meditate, and he gets to know it, it is convicted of it to say the words of the ministers, and they haven't had fellowship with God for a long time. He may be quite right when he says, it is my own fault. I don't walk in the light. But there is another way of looking at it, and it is this, that the person who says that type of thing may be quite wrong. For very often, those who are walking in the light feel that so, that they won't die. Very often what the Bible calls walking in the light, they don't call walking in the light as far as they're concerned. So then, very often the Lord will say, well, now I feel condemned by the statement that if we walk in the light, because I don't walk in the light. I feel that I am negligent and prayerless and worldly minded, and that the world takes hold of me and carries me away, and I have much less than that nature that I could talk about, you say, and this is why I don't have fellowship with God. Now we must remember that the presence of sin in the believer does not prevent his having fellowship with God. Now you try and remember this. I know there are a lot of people who think that they must needs be perfect before they can have this marvelous privilege of fellowship with God. No, that is not the case. And don't expect this of yourself, you don't need to. So the presence of sin, the existence of sin, does not prevent fellowship with God. Everybody with whom God has fellowship in this world is a sinner. There's plenty of sin in everyone. When you come to think of the great saints of the past, the great saints of the Bible, David, he had fellowship with God, Abraham had fellowship with God, the prophets, yeah, but they all had sin, and plenty of it. But not of the heart. If you think that the presence of sin in you can prevent you having fellowship with him. And another thing you must remember is that even the activity of sin will not prevent you having fellowship with God. Sin is active for everything, but sometimes it is far more active than at other times. And sin can be very active sometimes, as you know. In fact, according to Ephesians, it is always active somewhere or other. But however active it is, it cannot prevent you having fellowship with God. So remember that. There is only one thing that can prevent you having fellowship with God in this life, and that is the love of sin. If you love sin, then you cannot have fellowship with God. Sin is present. Sin can be active. You may be struggling against temptation. You may be feeling that you've been carried away with the temptation, but if you're not, that will not prevent you from having fellowship with God. In fact, if one were to go deeply into this, if I had more time to go into it, one could find out that one has fellowship with Christ, even if being tempted. That is part of having fellowship. that I, we are having fellowship. Now, I think that Francis is up to you at the very beginning of our study of this fellowship with God, that some people think it consists only in having a grand, a wonderful feeling, being in an ecstasy full of joy, and the world becoming like a little heaven. No sin, no thought of sin, no care for the world, nothing like that. Having a marvelous time, having an experience like what the apostles had on the Mount of the Transfiguration, of, like what Mary had when she was sitting at Jesus' feet. It's a marvelous thing. Well, this is what some people think is the meaning of the exclusive meaning of fellowship. But of course, if we think that, we're very far from the truth. There is a way of having fellowship with God like that. There is no doubt at all about that. The Lord brings his people into the banqueting house, and his banner over them is never left. And they are sick of love, or sick with love to Christ. And the world fades away, and the exercise fades, and they're conscious of God loving them, and of themselves loving God. And it's a wonderful experience to have. Well, there is fellowship in the assurance that the Christian has. When the Spirit is bearing witness with his Spirit that he's a child of God. But there are other ways of having fellowship. There is such a thing as the fellowship of suffering. When one is suffering for righteousness' sake, even if he's not conscious of having any fellowship with God, he has fellowship with them then. The same with temptation, it will come. And he will have fellowship with God. Well now, if we give way to sin, if we love sin, if we deliberately or willfully indulge in sin, we can't have fellowship with God. This sort of thing brings about a certain moral condition in the soul which makes it, speaking reverently, impossible for God to our fellowship with a person who's in that condition at that time. We just cannot have it. You get examples of this in various places in the Bible. The Lord himself says about his people when they depart from him, that he departs from them. There is a separation made. This is what it means. Although the relationship between God and his people is never broken, they never cease to be his real people. Once they become his people at all, he never breaks the covenant with them. But he frowns upon them. He deserts them. He leaves them to themselves. And they are not conscious of his presence. And very often when they cry, he doesn't answer them. Because of this condition into which they are brought themselves. Now then, what I was really going to talk about tonight was this. We all feel so full of sin. And in spite of what we do, in spite of our efforts to our fellowship with God, very often we fail. We seem to be more conscious of sin than we are of the presence of God. Very often. Don't you find that this is the way it is then? You say one day, well, I won't commit the folly of yesterday or the folly of today. I'll be a different man or a different woman. And you try, and yet you, the good that you would, you cannot do. It is the evil that you would not, that you do. Well, no, the point of this text is that God has made provision for the like of that. And remember, friend, when you say that, you're always saying what every true Christian in the world is saying at one time or another. There's nothing more certain than that. Now then, you are here, guidance, encouragement, comfort. When we are trying to walk in the light, when we are using the means that God has put at our disposal for doing so, and we fail, when we get stained with sin, polluted, when our minds seem to be open to the suggestions of Satan, can we have fellowship? Yes, if we are cleansed from that, in the past. But God has made this provision. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, see the person whose blood it is. I'm not going to talk about the theology of all this, the human in which we are together. It is all brimful of meaning. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. That's what we spend prayer meeting up, prayer meeting, on the different meanings of these terms and how they apply in this particular case. The blood of Jesus Christ. What does he mean by the blood? Well, perhaps a lot of people, when they read about the blood, get a mundane idea. They think of the physical blood of Jesus Christ. This is the kind of thing that comes into their mind. The picture of blood, physical blood. Now, this is not what it means. Honestly, if you hear that some hymns don't tell people, suspect, although perhaps the author had a different meaning, the right meaning. It is to be feared that sometimes that the way in which this term, this expression is spoken, does not tell people, but that is the fault of the people themselves, more than the fault of the words. It doesn't mean that, of course. It doesn't mean that. There are various reasons for that, because we know that that blood didn't cleanse those who were sprinkled with it while it was being shed. There were some people who got it on their hands, on other parts of their bodies. It didn't cleanse them from sin. It doesn't mean that. The blood of Christ means the merit of Christ's atoning work. All that he did in satisfying the justice of God. All that he did to reconcile us to God, the merit of his work, which is applied to the believer, to his heart and to his conscience, that is the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't you ever let this idea come into your mind when you hear about the blood. I hope it doesn't come into your mind. It would be wrong and even idolatrous if we were to give way to it. That is the physical blood. His physical blood was shed, of course, when he was dying. But this is what it means. The infinite efficacy that is in him to take our sins away. Now then, this is how the statement is a guidance. It tells us what to do. When we're wanting, when we're longing to have fellowship with God, and we say, oh, that I knew where I might find him, then I would come to his place. Well, but how are you going to come to his place? How are you going to find him, if you want him? This is the answer. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses you from all sin. And as it cleanses you, then you find him. This is the answer. And it's a wonderful, it's a marvelous encouragement. Encouragement beyond words. You know how sometimes discouraged we become. You know how sometimes we may be concluding that we'll never have fellowship with him anymore. Time seems so long, days without fellowship with him seem like months. And we conclude that the good time that we had in the past will never come back to. My friend, here is the encouragement of God's word. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Why shouldn't you have fellowship with him? Is your unworthiness going to keep you from having fellowship with him? Well, if you think that, you're absolutely wrong. That is not faith. It is not faith to be looking at your own unworthiness instead of looking at the blood. If God were to mark your unworthiness against you, you would never have fellowship with him. Remember, no, friend, it is not your inwardness that keeps fellowship from you at all. If you don't have fellowship, however inwardly you feel yourself to be, it is because you don't make use of God's provision. And God made his provision. The blood was shed in order that you might have fellowship with God. This was the reason for which it was shed, that you and God might come close together, and that you might have fellowship. So then Christ is your great high priest. He has shed his blood, and through him you can come into the holiest of all. Well, now, it cleanses us from all sin. I confess, but there is a little bit of difficulty here in one way. We know that it cleanses us from all sin. We believe that. But the difficulty that I am referring to is the difficulty of our feeling of it. And you say, well, now I feel that I am not being cleansed. And you say, this is my difficulty. If I were making use of the blood, wouldn't I feel myself being cleansed by it? I know how we get confused in this matter. And even when we know the truth, we sometimes seem to give way to an error in this matter. It is not what we feel at all. It is what the Bible says that we must believe. And the Bible says that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us. Now this does not refer to the initial cleanse, to the forgiveness of sin at the beginning. This refers to the cleansing the blood does of the defilement that we get day by day and hour by hour. Sin is a defilement. And God speaks of taking it away as being a cleanse. A washing of the sin. But we don't feel that. And indeed, perhaps, it would be quite correct to say that when this is actually happening, and the blood is cleansing us from all sin, we feel that the very opposite is true. We feel that we're getting fortified. When we are being cleansed, we are given to make more discoveries of our own defilement, to be more conscious of our own defilement. The prophet Isaiah puts it in this way. He speaks as the mouthpiece of God, and he says, I, the Lord, dwell in the high and in the lofty. I dwell also with a man who is of a poor and of a contrite spirit, and to tremble at my word. This is fellowship. God. I dwell with him, is God. The man that is of a poor and of a contrite heart. But poverty of spirit and contrition of heart is not an easy condition to bear. It's a blessed condition. But there is inconvenience. There is difficulty. And when one is being cleansed, there is no doubt at all but that he makes fresh discoveries of his own need, and he feels that he's getting more and more defined all the time. Now then, what if we have that feeling? Does that mean that we cannot have fellowship with God? We feel that? It means nothing of the kind. Blessed be God's name for that. If we are anxious not to get rid of the feeling of the consciousness of sin, but if we are anxious to get rid of the guilt of it, the dominion of it, and anxious to have fellowship with God, then we are cleansed by the blood. If we hate it, and nobody hates it as much as we ought to hate it, don't think that we're hating sin with a perfect hate. Nobody hates it like that. There is that evil thing in us that seems to hanker after us and to go out, in spite of what we want, in spite of what we do. But you know when you hate a thing. Well, if you hate and you're anxious to have communion with God, then you are being cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son. And there is one word more. Sometimes there are certain sins, at least in some, in the lives of some people, that a certain sin that depresses them more than other sins. They say, well, if I didn't have this particular poison, I would have more hope. I think I would lay hold on the promises of the word more readily. I think God would be kinder to me. Now, my friend, this is a grave error. This is a belief, stark unbelief. No, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, says the apostle, cleanses us. It is they do so, cleanses us from all sin. What a good thing that was for Peter. He had one sin, which I'm sure broke his heart, which he never got over. It always left him ashamed. Now what would you think of Peter if afterwards he would say to himself, well now, I made many a blunder in my life. I said many a foolish thing. I acted impetuously many a time. And I was far from being perfect. But still I would hope to have fellowship with God if I hadn't denied with all the curse. But oh, that night. That night is going to put a blanket between me and my God. And I don't think I will ever get near it anymore.